Welcome back to the last message in the Sticky Faith series. My heart and prayer for you is that you have grown in your faith, that you've seen your faith grow, that you know how faith begins. The hallmark verse for this whole series is Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we look back over the last few weeks, here was the first week. Like, faith begins when we have a revelation of Jesus speaking to us. Like, there's a moment, just like we saw in that message in Acts chapter 9, where Saul had this encounter with Jesus. He was knocked to the ground. He saw this bright light, and he heard Jesus speaking to him. Now, listen, you may never have had an encounter with Jesus like that. I haven't. But I know this, that when we hear him speaking to us, when the light bulb goes off and there's that moment of revelation, that we know that God is alive. He's speaking to us and he's calling us. That is the first step. It begins with revelation. Then it continues. Like, how do we develop faith? Through application, doing what it is that we've heard from the Lord. Like, I know for me, in Galatians 1:10, when the light bulb went off for the very first time and Jesus spoke to me, out of his word, out of the Bible, am I now trying to please men or am I trying to please God? If I'm trying to please men, I'm not a servant of God. And man, that took me to the place where that light bulb went off and I went, wow, I'm pleasing people. But I had to make the conscious choice to now put God before people, before my parents. It happened when I was 14. My parents, my friends, application. And then just know that along the way, there's going to be trials, tribulation, and temptation. And those things will actually give you an opportunity to grow in faith. This is how we develop faith. It begins with revelation. It continues and develops through application in the midst of trials and tribulation, as well as overcoming temptation. And then last week, we talked about really just supplication, which is prayer, and how when we spend time devoted to the Lord, seeking him in prayer, seeking him through his word, confessing our sins, not just to him. You see, Jesus is the one who forgives us for our sins when we confess. However, it's James 5:16, confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. So I want you to have faith that's bigger than your wounding, but that'll never happen unless you've had a revelation of who Jesus is. That you're walking it out through application, that you're spending time in his presence, and you're walking with other people. And that is what today's message is about, connection. I want you to grow in your faith. I want you to have faith that sticks with you, that the biblical principles that we've looked at in the last few weeks stick with you because they're all through the Bible. But today I want to talk to you about how you keep your sticky faith. How do you keep your faith sticky? Here it is. It's through connection. So really, it's quite simple. We stay connected first to the work of God. I've got to stay connected to the work of God. So let's look at the book of Philippians. Saul, who had that revelation moment where he was knocked to the ground, saw a bright light, heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him, and it changed everything. He continued applying what he heard from the Lord. He continued in spite of trials and tribulation and temptation. He continued the work of God. And now we see him towards the end of his life. He's in prison in Rome, in prison for preaching the gospel, preaching the good news of Jesus. And so here we see in Philippians chapter 1, he's writing to the church, to his friends and spiritual family in Philippi. And this is what he says in chapter 1, verse 3. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you've been my partner in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now. And then he says this, in verse 6, he says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I'm going to read that last part again. That God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished. How do I keep my faith sticky? How do I stay connected to that type of faith that, like, it's alive inside of me and manifesting in the world around me? I stay connected to the work of God. But here's the thing. This is not simply me striving to make it happen. This is me recognizing that it is God who started that work in me. Man, 8 years old, when the Lord spoke to me and I had the revelation of who Jesus was. What did I do? No, I was just doing my 8-year-old thing. And then God spoke to me. I've got to know that that work that he started, he will finish if I stay close to him. Where did that like word from him at 8 years old, like how did that happen? I was in a place I needed to be. My mama made me go. It was a church. I was in a place that my mama knew was a place that maybe I could hear from him. And let me tell you right now, if you're listening to my voice, you are in the place where God can speak to you. How do you continue in sticky faith? How do you keep that faith sticky? You stay connected to the work of God and recognize that it's God who's doing the work in you. Yeah, you got to let him, but it is him who does the work. It's good stuff. Let's look at verse 9. He says, I'll pray your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you'll live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. When you know that God is the one who started the work in you, and that your heart is an open room for him to live in. Like your life, your heart, your soul, there's no dark corners. That you say, Lord, let your work continue in me. You stay connected to the work of God. Guess what? You're going to live, what does it say? That you may live a pure and blameless life until the day of Christ's return. How do we do that? We stay connected with our heart open and we say, Lord, here's my heart. Do your work. That's what he's called us to. Remember, the calling of God on our life is always first to him. And then he sends us on mission. But the truth is just as we receive the word of God, like if you've ever had a light bulb moment, what'd you do to receive that? You just had an open heart. You keep that open and let God do his work. You don't keep dirty, dark corners in your heart. You sweep out the sin. That's called repentance. And then you say, Lord, I know it's you that's doing a work in me. That's humility. When you do that, the byproduct is a life that is pure and blameless. And then he says in verse 27, man, I love this. You know, remember, how do we keep our faith sticky? We stay connected to the work of God. It's him doing the work. We're just keeping our heart open. And then here's a mindset principle we see in verse 27. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. You got to know that you are a citizen of heaven. Listen, I am in this world, but I don't belong to this world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. That's actually biblical. I had the opportunity to do a funeral for an unbelievable man of God. Mr. Roy Fontenot. 83 years old, married 44 years, worked a tremendous job at a local plant. He was a black man and broke that barrier in being one of the first bigwigs, the Firestone plant. 11 years ago, he texted his daughter. Let me see if I can get it correct. He says, I don't worry about what other people say or do to me. I don't belong to this world. This place is not my home. I'm not going to let it affect me. Listen to me. When we recognize we are citizens of heaven, that this place, this is just like a hotel stop. I'm here for a little while. It's like on a road trip. Like this is where I am right now, but this is not where I belong. When you stay connected to the work of God, your focus is on him and that which is eternal and not that which is passing away. We don't belong here. How do I keep my faith sticky? Know that I'm connected to the work of God. It's him who started it. It's him who's going to finish it. I'm going to live pure and blameless when I open my heart to him and realize this world is not the thing that I'm going to allow to affect me. I'm going to allow his leading and his voice and his presence to affect me. Stay connected to the work of God. Here's the second thing. Stay connected to the people of God. How do you stay sticky with your faith? How do you have faith that sticks? Connected to the work of God, connected to the people of God. Look at what he writes in chapter 2. This is what Paul writes. He says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? The answer should be yes to all of that. Then make me truly happy. Look at what he says. Make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. In other words, walking in agreement with people who've dedicated their life to the Lord, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. And when you walk together with other people who agree with you that, hey, man, this place isn't my home, I'm going to let God do his work in me. I'm going to live open-handed and open-hearted. No dark, dirty corners in my heart. Nothing that I'm holding on to that's nasty. Lord, I want to see your kingdom take precedence because I'm a citizen of your kingdom, not the one that I'm living in. I may have a passport that says the United States of America, but I know where my real citizenship is. And you walk with other people who have that same mindset, agreeing wholeheartedly, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Then he says this in verse 3 of chapter 2. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. How do I keep my faith sticky, strong, connected to it, connected to the work of God? And I'm connected to the people of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer, and three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. When you stand with other believers and you walk in a deep and meaningful relationship where you are open-hearted, not just to God, but to other people. This is where James 5:16 last week, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Are you connected to the people of God in a deep and meaningful way? Listen, I'm glad you're watching this digitally. I'm glad you're watching it online. But where are the people in your life that know the issues of your heart? I'm praying that those are past issues. But if they are, the way that they stay in the past is when you open your heart to God. Yes, because it's He who grants forgiveness, but He uses people to bring you to the place of healing. This is why it's so important that we open our heart, not just to God, but to other people. And to do that comfortably, there's one of two ways you can do it. You can either sit down with a professional, and this is a good thing. This isn't a bad thing. You can sit down with a professional and say, this is what's going on, and open your heart to them because they have the credentials. Maybe they have the track record professionally that you know that it's a safe place. But if you go, man, I don't know about counseling, or maybe it's a difficult logistically or financially, who are you opening your heart to? Because remember, the enemy can only traffic in darkness. And the way that he robs people of faith is he keeps dark corners, dark secret nooks in your heart. And then he reminds you about it. And you feel terrible about it. And you're focused on that darkness, not recognizing there's a spiritual hook in your soul. Stay connected to the work of God, but stay connected to the people of God. This is how you defeat the enemy back to back with somebody else. Listen, all you need is one good friend, but if you got two, oh man, you're doing great because three people together, who can stop that? Man, so good. Ecclesiastes 4, you should go read it. Stay connected to the work of God. Stay connected to the people of God. Here's the third thing. Stay connected to your calling. Chapter 2, verse 12. Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now that I'm away, it's even more important. And look at what he says. He says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Remember, your calling is to Him. And your calling is to walk in obedience. The tactic of the enemy is to get you to focus on task. God will give you task. But if your focus is on looking for a task to do instead of the one who's going to give it to you, you're going to miss the mark. You're not going to walk in your calling. You're going to walk in law, thinking that you have to do something so that you can please God. When the truth is that God is pleased with you because of what has already been done by Jesus on the cross. He forgave your sins. And when you turn to Him and you just say, Lord, I'll do what is ever in front of me because my heart's for you. He's going to show you your calling, but it has to be a priority, which is why I'm saying you need to be connected to the work of God, knowing it's Him that does the work. You're going to put your hands to the plow and you're going to do some stuff, but He's the one that does the work in you. Stay connected to the people of God so that you can defeat the enemy, and stay connected to the calling of God, knowing that your first calling is always to Him. Look at what He says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. And He doesn't say, make sure that you're going to church every Sunday. You should be at church because you need to develop those relationships with other people. And you need to reach out to the people who are hesitant to develop relationships with other believers. So that's part of it. But the truth is the results of your salvation, the very first thing, work hard. And we think, I need to go out and feed the homeless. That's a great thing. And I hope you do that. I need to go out and encourage people and love on people and help people deal with forgiveness. Those are great things. You should do that. But this is not what Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, which he's writing to us today, where he says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. This is what he says. Obeying God. So many people ask me, I want to fulfill God's will for my life. I struggle with that. Read the Bible. Draw close to Him. He'll whisper to you. And people that I know, they know the Lord. Now, I just don't know what to do. Well, be patient and wait. But if you know the last thing He told you to do and you didn't do it, you didn't do it yet, do it now. Just do that. It's good. Stay connected to your calling, and your calling is always to Him. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you. Wow, that's hard to believe when you feel like you don't know what to do with your faith. But you need to trust the Scripture. I firmly believe this. When you feel like you're lost and wandering, now we're not talking about wandering into sin because you're responsible for your own actions. But when you say, Lord, I'm going to let You work in me, but you don't feel like He's working, you got to know that He is. I'm convinced that in those moments where we feel like I'm just going downhill, that God is working in us more than when we feel like we're just killing it and doing a great job. I'm convinced. I heard actually one of my kids say, you know, we hate the downhills, but it's what gives us momentum to go up the uphills. You know, teacher's always silent and quiet during a test. Just know, even in those moments when God seems very far away and He seems quiet, here we go. Philippians 12 and 13. God is working in you. He's going to give you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. When I feel like I don't have the power, when I feel like I don't have the power or even the desire to do what is pleasing to Him, just stay the course, man. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other in the right direction. Know that your first calling's to God, and what eventually happens is He gives you the desire to do what He's called you to do and to be with Him. He gives you the desire and the power. You got to stay connected to the work of God. He does it. You got to stay connected to the people of God. They encourage you and help you walk it out when it's hard. You got to stay connected to your calling, which is always first to God. It's not task. Let me just say, the Lord is driving this home with me over and over. The most important thing that I do every day is spend time with Him in His Word and in prayer. I have a prayer list, but truth be told, my praying is more like when I'm driving. or doing something that's kind of mindless, like getting dressed or taking a shower or brushing my teeth. I'm praying. I'm beginning to understand what it means to, as Paul says in another book, pray without ceasing, that we stay in communication with him. That the most powerful thing you can do is recognize your calling is to him. Talk to him throughout the day. That's prayer. Open your heart and listen. That's prayer. Read your word. That's his letter to you. That's him speaking. Stay connected to your calling. And here's what he says in chapter 3, in verse 13. He says, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Your calling is in front of you, not behind you. So many people allow the pain of the past to cripple them in the present. And as they look back, they don't realize they're missing the path that God has for them because their focus is rearward. Look, I get it. Hindsight's 20/20. But if you spend all of your time analyzing your wrongs or the things that were done to you in the past that were wrong, you'll never see the path that God has you. Stay connected to your calling. The last thing, here it is. Chapter 4, verse 1, I'm just going to read the first sentence of this verse. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. And then he says, I'll read the rest of it. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you're my joy and the crown I receive for my work. And Paul, what a great dude. But he's saying, stay true to the Lord. Here's the fourth thing. Stay connected to joy. Look at what he says in verse 4. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Notice that he does not say, I hope that one day the feelings of happiness will reach you. No, joy is a byproduct of faith that we have, knowing that God's at work in us. Joy is a byproduct of being around people who don't want something from us. They want something for us, from being around people who are there for us. They've got our back. You know, Ecclesiastes 4, back to back. You know, you can defeat the enemy. The byproduct of joy is God's at work in me. I've got people who don't want something from me. They want something for me. I'm around people who've got my back. I'm around people who are encouraging to me. And I get to have somebody else's back. And I get to be encouraging. Stay connected to the people of God. Stay connected to your calling. Look forward, not backwards. And the byproduct of this is joy. Joy is not circumstantial. Happiness is... I'm thirsty. That's so good. See, that's a circumstance. I just satisfied my thirst. That's circumstantial, but joy says, even when it's bad, I know that things are good and that I'm okay. That's joy. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord's coming soon. Always be full of joy. How does my faith continue to grow, continue to stick? I know that God's at work in me. I'm connected to the work of God because he's connected to me. I'm connected to his people. I'm connected to my calling. And I'm connected to joy because I know no matter what comes, I'm looking forward and God's got a great future and a hope for me. It's why my number three life verse is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and hope. If you've lost hope, you don't feel connected to the Lord, what are you to do? Draw near to him. How do you do that? You open your heart. How do I do that? You choose it, and then you verbalize it. So if that's you, maybe you need to be connected to the Lord. And this is his work in your life. Pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I open my heart to you. I give you every dark, dirty corner, every nasty nook of my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I give everything to you. I believe you died on that cross so that I could be forgiven of my sin. You paid the price for my sin. It's you that died, not me. I choose you. I'm yours. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if that was you, I want to see you connected, not just to God, but the people who've got your back, who want more for you than from you. It can be an encouragement to you. Let us know what's going on. Click on the link in the chat underneath. It's great to have you, and I hope to see you soon. I hope to hear a story. Drop us a line. Let us know what God's doing in your life. If you need prayer, let us know. It's great being with you and being your pastor. Love you. God bless.